Julian Wilcox. And Julian, as we know, he is a renowned broadcaster, a television executive, of course, an accomplished journalist as well. And it's lovely to be able to talk with Julian, because we are going to election on the 14th of October. And of course, Julian has been very much involved in following what's been happening, particularly in not only in all of politics, but certainly with an interest in the Maori political scene and what might be hopefully a positive outcome after the 14th of October. Well, here to tell us if that's going to be the case or not, perhaps looking into his crystal ball, kia ora, Julian. Welcome to Radio Wahatia this evening.
Tēnā, great to find me to pick up. I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Well, look, it's lovely to have you because, you know, we hear so often now, you know, people are getting quite, particularly Māori, they're getting very concerned that there could be a coalition of National and ACT. And, you know, personally, I always say it's not over till it's over on the day, Julian, but it looks as if what we're hearing from all the, you know, all the prognoses and punters are saying it looks that way. So it does, to me, that might not be good news for Māori.
You would suspect that would be the case, i.e. not good news, given the way ACT, and also it looks like now potentially an ever-increasing role for New Zealand First and Winston Peters and that coalition to make sure that those two parties get across the line. How the heck that's going to work, who knows, but we can talk about that later. We know what these parties stand for. We know what they don't like, in particular things like the Māori Health Authority, potentially a referendum on the treaty, the removal of treaty principles, a big slash in public service budgets and also staff potentially. These have massive ramifications obviously for Māori, not just for Māori, but obviously for the country. And a change in government is in the offing if you have a look at the polls. Here's what I would say though, if you have a look at the polls, you have a look at the margin of error in some of these polls, you're talking between 3 and 4%. It looks like ACT Party support has peaked at around 12 to 11%, depending on which polls you look at. And it looks like the National Party support has also peaked. It was at one stage 40 and now has come back down to 37 or 36, again, depending on which polls you look at. Now, if that's the case, 36 plus 11 does not give you 50. Or doesn't give you over 50%, it's 47%. So they need to go to New Zealand First. And if you're a betting person, you know, Winston Peters at 5% there or thereabouts potentially could go up a bit to maybe 6%. They need Winston to form a government. If you have a look on the other side, you know, Labour support's plummeted to about 26 or 27, depending on which polls you look at. The Greens are the only party, it looks to me, that haven't plateaued yet. They seem to be increasing to around 14%, some say 15%. Still not enough to form a government. You add the Māori Party, and we know, Etifai, you know this, and many of us do, that Māori are underrepresented in polls. They don't take into account Māori on those polls in a way in which is reflective, I think, of the country. And so as a result, one of the latest polls I saw had the Māori Party at 2%. I think the Māori Party is at 3%, could go higher. So if you add all those together, you still don't have enough on the left. Something else needs to happen. So it looks like it could be a change in government. What does that mean? I think the bigger issue for us is whether or not there is a New Zealand First ACT and National Party coalition on the right that becomes the government, not just for the policies that those parties have, but also in the way in which the Prime Minister, i.e. Chris Luxon, has to run the country with two people, Seymour and Peters, who don't get on with each other. You know, there is the possibility that we could end up going back to the polls again, because of confidence and supply issues, and that comes down to the Governor-General, who asks Christopher Luxon whether or not he can form a government and can get confidence and supply. Now, there's a bigger picture issue we're talking about there. If we talk about Māori in particular, there are concerns, we know this, and the way in which race has been played in this election campaign, I think, is very clear.
Yes. Well, I've been disappointed about that. I don't think there was any need to play the race card. I think it shows that we're still not mature enough as a country to be able to get on with the job without what could you say? Without going there, there's no need for that. And actually, I think some members of our community now have felt quite emboldened to start being nasty with some of the billboards. I've seen particularly, what's her name, Tash, Kukutai, Tash, yes. And I mean, some of her billboards have had, the N-word written on them, defaced. And then Hannah, of course, had a home invasion on more than one occasion with very, very vile letters. And, it's just that, and I feel now, before, I don't believe, and I guess these things did used to happen, but I think there's an atmosphere of emboldenment now, and that's been stoked by party leaders who think that because they say things, other people think, well, if they're saying it as the leaders, why can't we do something as well to possibly show our dislike for Māori? Yeah. And that's sad.
No, you're absolutely right. You would expect in a Western liberal democracy, which actually was an exemplar to the rest of the world in which we did our politics. If we think back to 2005, what happened in 2005 with Evie Kiwi and John Ansell and that campaign that he ran really for the National Party when Don Brash was the leader of the National Party and came very close to becoming Prime Minister, actually. Parties moved away from that kind of politics after 2005. This is a flow-on from the co-governance debate and the way in which, again, women, and in particular Māori women, I mean, remember the face of the co-governance tours led by Julian Batchelor was Nunaia Mahuta. And there's no reason other than the fact that she's Māori and a woman and has a moko kowai, that was used in that vile kind of way. It was a point that was specifically made to gin up a section of society to be able to not only carry a campaign, but also, get a bigger vote for the white bloc in New Zealand and then a very ultra-conservative bloc in New Zealand that supports that kind of view. And unfortunately, that's become a big part of this campaign. So if we have a look again at what's happening with direct attacks on people's homes and houses, in particular those you mentioned of Hararawhiti, again, Tokutai Camp. I know I've heard it from candidates back home in the north. William Jean Prime was talking about this with me at Uncle Pat Hoyapa's Tangi. They're getting targeted. And they're getting targeted by people who are organised, by people who have made plans. They are a part of the movement, but directly trying to, have a direct impact on people's lives and livelihoods and people's homes and their whānau. And it's not only sad, it is something that we as a country, not just Māori, but we as a country, shouldn't put up with. And I think our political leaders have not been bold enough, bold enough and brave enough to call a spade here and rule that kind of thing out. But unfortunately, this is the way how politics have been played, and we've been influenced, I think, by what happens in the US, by what's happening in the UK, by what's happening in Australia. Look what's happening with the Voice to Parliament campaign at the moment, led really internationally by right-wing conservatives and led by right-wing media conservative commentators as well. This is what's happening in the world, and unfortunately we're being tarred with it as well.
The thing that amazes me, though, Julian, is that Pākehā must, and I say Pākehā because invariably these are these acts of violence and harmful acts, actually, the Pākehā people, the Pākehā that are doing it, but they must feel very insecure. I mean, that's unbelievable. That's what I find after all of these years of living a very privileged life here in New Zealand, they must feel very insecure. All of a sudden, they must feel insecure. And as you say, yes, and it is that right-wing element. That's what amazes me, that suddenly, hello, we're so insecure, we've got to do what we can to show our disdain for Māori and for things Māori, and certainly those who might be at one day holding a leadership position in our country.
Yeah, look, I think a part of this is down to deliberate attempts at disinformation and misinformation that are a part of the global movements. And that fomented itself during COVID, And immediately after COVID, it switched to council local body elections and then the co-governance stuff. And it has rolled on from there. Now, the only way, in my view, the only way you can really deal with this for the betterment of the country going forward is by an increased focus on civics education in schools, by talking about the political system, by trying to inform our youth in a much more cohesive and in a much more overall way about politics and the way in which politics is undertaken, voting and that kind of thing. And I think, and this is a really concerning thing for me, Fire, and you're directly involved here, so this will have an impact on you. I think we're going to get a very low turnout of Māori in this election campaign. And the reason why I say that is because when you already have a deep distrust of politics in this country as a result of the way in which we are constantly the political football in this country, so there's already a level of distrust anyway. And then you have this stuff going on directly focused on us and issues about us and trying to remove us and trying to remove things that we care about, like the treaty and treaty principles and all those kinds of things. The direct impact of that is a lot of people will not go to the polls in 2 weeks' time on October the 14th. And that will, in my view, that will have long-lasting impacts. And again, the only way I think we can deal with that is civics education in New Zealand. And unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get that because of the way the body politic in New Zealand is at the moment. But I do, I'm really concerned about whether or not turnout will come out just to vote and to teach our younger generations and ingrain the behaviour of going out and expressing your democratic right to vote. And that is a major concern for us. It's a concern also for you and for political parties, particularly those who want to stand up for things Māori. And Māori politicians and Māori electorates. Remember in 2020, the lowest Māori electorate voting region was Tāmaki Makaurau. Tāmaki Makaurau, 65%. We could have very low turnout, below 60%, which we actually saw in 2002, which is incredibly low. And again, the only way you can deal with that is civics education, or you make voting compulsory, which will up the rates of those who will come out and vote on the day. But the long term, one of the other things that people will talk about is a low voter turnout on the day normally doesn't help governments and parties on the left. It normally helps parties on the right.
Yes, well, I guess, and you've just been highlighting it, Julian, that we can look back over recent history and just see, as you say, when the voters didn't turn out, and we can track that we could be, there could be just a continuation of that. One thing I would say that as I've been moving around the country, Julian, is a lot of the younger people, young Māori, they're actually quite switched on, and they tend to be those children, young rangatahi, who have come through Kura Kaupapa, Kohanga Reo Kura. Yeah, yes. And I notice that they are. I mean, obviously they have no identity crisis. You know, they're bilingual. They're standing tall in their own country, and if anything, I think it might be the older Māori. And I'm not necessarily going to the ones of my age who, you know, and when I was voting, when I started voting, there was only first past the post. So if you were Māori, then obviously it was Labour, and that was it. But there is a group of Māori between 35 to perhaps 55 that I think show a little bit, and for the various reasons that you've mentioned, are somewhat indifferent. And I think there is that inertia there, rather than perhaps with the young ones. The young ones seem to be wanting the change that they think will suit them best. And, well, I do hope so anyway, but I get a sense that our younger people, some of them particularly, are really wanting to get involved and certainly want to see themselves reflected in some of the changes that they want to take place.
Look, I hope you're right. 2017, the lowest turnout of voting demographics was Māori, you know, 18 to 24, I think it was. And then in 2020, it was a little bit high, although different circumstances with a COVID election. The lowest voting demographic normally for Māori is male 18 to 24. Mm-hmm. The one of the highest, traditionally, one of the highest voter turnout for Māori is, you know, 80 plus. And so, you know, I hope you're right. And I do want to acknowledge some people who've gone out there via TikTok and Instagram, you know, social media platforms I'm not normally that adept with, who have gone out there and actually tried to promote voting as a process, talked about the way in which you can vote, be very clear about the voting today, the booths and ways to get information on which booths you can vote at, if you're not currently registered, how you can do special voting, all that kind of stuff, those overseas. There have been a lot of those going on by, as you say, Kua Kaupapa, but Pukuda, Kōhangarau graduates and the like, who you know, had tried to promote democracy and the way in which democracy works as a way of expressing more democratic right. I think that's really, you know, deserves applause. Here's the other thing. I hope you're right and I hope I'm wrong. And the reason is this. If you have a look at the Māori interest line, man, we've got some impressive candidates. Let me list some of them. So Tai Whakarau, who haven't them, probably will be there with the ACT Party on the list. Māori Aumino Kapakingi, it's not her first rodeo, to use a Winston Peters word. Very impressive candidate. You know, Kelma Davis, deputy leader of the Labour Party. Tamaki Makaurau, you've got Tukutai, she said Tashki. You've also got Darlene Tana. You've got Hunerua Tahoe, daughter of Matt Tahoe, long-term Auckland Māori National Council. And, of course, PME is there. Have a look at Iguala-Apati, the two leading candidates. Very close race. Māori Party will tell you that they think they're ahead there. Labour Party will tell you that they're ahead there. I think that's going to be a fascinating race. Two very good candidates, Mecca Vaitini and Krishna Tahoe. I mean, have a look at the Tai Hello. Here's the other thing I've noticed. Tai Hello, Iguala-Apati, Hauraki Waikato. Hauraki Waikato, Nanaia Mahuta. And of course, Hanara Apatiti Māori Park, Wahinetoa. Ikuroa Rātiti, Wahinetoa. Tai Hauauru, Demi Ngāri Apeka, Hareti Hipaho, and of course, Rāpeka Nation, Wahinetoa. So we've got some damn good candidates, and of course, I should mention those as well. Not Wahinetoa, but certainly Wahinetoa adjacent. And of course, Taka Tuku. We have got some damn good candidates, and the way in which they have fought this campaign on Kaupapa, and retaining the mana of the other political candidate in their boy has been, in my view, very Māori, but absolutely commendable. We've got a great range of candidates. I mean, have a look at New Zealand First and Brian Acton and some of the stuff that some of their candidates have got. Oh my gosh, Loyal New Zealand's party couldn't even register their candidates sometimes. So we're lucky and fortunate we've got such great representatives and candidates. And I think that's enough of a reason for us to get out and vote, and I hope we do that.
Yes, yes, I do. I think you're right. I think I've watched them. I mean, I've shared the platform on two occasions with Tony Boynton. Tony's from, she's standing in the Wairiki seat. Of course, I'm here in Rotorua, standing for the Rotorua and, of course, General. But I've enjoyed the times that we've shared the stage together and presented our various views, but not only the fact that she speaks well, but she's respectful. But it's just that we have an understanding that irrespective of the fact that we're different parties, we don't slag each other off. We just talk about what we're there for and also the vision that we have for our whānau and for Aotearoa. And it's just when I listened to her and particularly the other Māori women candidates and obviously Arawiri, and Tākuta, I just feel we are on fire for the vision for our country, for Aotearoa, and for our whānau's well-being, and to take their place. Yeah. And it's just so wonderful.
It's been nice before. You know, we've obviously held debates on the hui, and we've got another two plus a Māori policy debate this Thursday. One tomorrow with Ikoro Arawhiti and Tai Hauauru on Wednesday and then Māori Policy on Thursday. But in some of the debates, for example, you mentioned Arawhiti and Tony Boynton, they came on the Wairiki debate with us, they were our first debate. And before we even started, Arawhiti went over to Tony and said, "Are you okay for me?" And she's like, "Yep, no, I'm all good for me." It was her first debate, so she was nervous. People don't see this. Nanaia at our debate on Friday night, this was just after Hanarawhiti had gone to the police station to inform them of the third time her house had been hit directly by someone. And the Maya said during the outbreak, "Come on, are you okay? You're all good and sure." "I play in the moment." She goes, "You sure?" "I play in the moment." "We do cut our hair together and all those kind of things." You know, Penny's done the same, you know, when we hit the base there. You know, people don't see this. And you're right, the way that we play our politics, and that's a wrong way of phrasing it, I know, the way in which we play our politics is different. It maintains, I think, the values of what makes us us. Yes. And I think if the country actually followed a lot more of how we do our politics and the way in which we do our politics, and retained the mana of the person that they are engaging with when they go into a political contest, our politics would be much better for it, and we wouldn't have half of the crap that we're currently dealing with in this campaign, and the fact that we are having to deal with it is a shame. But there's also a little ray of sunshine there, I think, in the way in which our Māori electorate candidates continue to uphold themselves, their whānau, and the mana of the people in which they're engaging within this political contest. And long may they continue.
Oh, look, thank you so much, Julian.